It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
News Podcast presents Brett Baer's All-Star Panel.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fox's chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
This week, pro-Palestinian protests spread to more campuses across the country, including the University of Michigan, the New School, Emerson, and MIT. On the streets of New York, protesters were waving flags and clashing with NYPD. More than 100 protesters at Columbia University and dozens more from NYU and Yale have been arrested after refusing to leave the scene. After countless Jewish leaders and students voiced concerns about their safety, Columbia University announced all classes on its main campus will be hybrid, online, technology permitting, until the end of the semester. At an event for Earth Day, President Biden condemned both sides for the ongoing tensions. Meanwhile, testimony began in the historic trial of former President Donald Trump as the former president continues his claim that the Manhattan DA's office is interfering with the November election. To discuss all of this and more, we bring in our panel, Fox News political analyst Juan Williams, host of the Ben Domenech podcast, Ben Domenech, and Fox News congressional correspondent Chad Pergram. Chad, first to you, it seems like the foreign aid package has met its biggest hurdle in the Senate, and it's a formality moving forward. Job pretty much accomplished for that foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan.
Yeah, here in just the past hour or so, we've gotten a sense of how much support is for this bill. There was a test vote just a bit ago, and you might remember that the Senate passed a similar foreign aid bill back in February where they got 70 votes for this bill. It was a bipartisan vote, but there were fewer Republican yeas for that bill than nays. The nays outweighed that. That seems to have changed now. You have 30 Republicans who voted on this procedural vote voted yes. Katie Britt, Tom Cotton, Deb Fisher, Tim Scott of South Carolina, for example, Lindsey Graham. I mean, the earth shifted here a little bit. And so it's now just a matter of time. They're going to pass this bill sometime later tonight in the next couple of hours or maybe, 9, 10, 11 o'clock. There are some Republicans who are very upset about the idea that they've glommed these bills together. The House passed 4 individual bills Saturday. They passed one for Israel, one for Ukraine, one for Taiwan, and then one on TikTok. And what they've done now is they've melded them together, so it's one vote in the Senate. And Marco Rubio, the Republican senator from Florida, was just on the floor a few minutes ago, and he said, I'm left with this choice. If I want to help Israel, if I want to help Taiwan, if I want to ban ByteDance from operating TikTok, then I have to drop my demand that the president enforce our immigration laws. He said, this is moral extortion, his quote there on the Senate floor. But this is a big moment for the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, who is probably one of the biggest champions of Ukraine. He said that, he's noticed over the years that when the party opposite of the GOP is in the presidency, there seems to be more isolationism in the Republican Party. And Mitch McConnell indicated that he thought that ice was breaking just a bit now. And it's certainly probably going to be reflected in that roll call vote tonight. You know, you've had people like J.D. Vance, the Republican senator from Ohio, arguing against helping Ukraine in this form. Mitch McConnell, he had some criticisms. He did not call out J.D. Vance by name on the floor this morning, but said that some of these ideas about Ukraine were inaccurate fantasies. That was pretty much the quote there. And he was asked directly about J.D. Vance's criticism, and he refused to bite earlier today at a press conference.
Ben, meantime, you have these protests that, they just seem organized. They seem like they're kind of supported by someone. The tents all look the same. at various campuses across the country. And, you know, the message is varied. It's anti-Israel. But then at some points you see signs pro-Hamas and, you know, praising October 7th. So it really has kind of jumped the shark here as far as being a concern for not only these colleges and universities, but for the students and Jewish leaders there.
Yeah, look, Brett, I think that this is something that's been clearly not just organic, but something that's been pushed. I mean, you can't, you know, sort of pay any attention to what's going on here without quickly realizing that this looks like an organized, you know, active political sort of, you know, expression of belief. And from my perspective, I think that this is something that is not just going to hurt the cause of people on the progressive side. It's going to be something that flows into this upcoming, you know, Chicago Democratic Convention. We have to expect that these are the types of people who are going to show up en masse and show up in a very loud way when Joe Biden is going to accept the renomination to run for president again. That's something that the Democratic Party should be very scared of, because these people do not speak for the American people. They don't speak for even Democrats. They are not the majority opinion in any way. Instead, what they are is a fringe group that is very loud, that has been fomenting, you know, all sorts of anti-Jewish hate over the course of the last several months in ways that I find completely offensive, as I think our listeners will as well. But it's one of these things that I think is so powerful as an element within this fringe that the Democratic Party has not figured out a way to navigate their way around this. And unfortunately, they have a number of different members of their own party who have continued to foment and endorse this type of behavior in a way that encourages it. And these little children, these ideological anti-Semites who are, you know, active in these roles, are going to be a big problem for them going forward. And I think the fact that people like Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania and a number of other Democrats as well have stood up against them, but there's not enough of that. It needs to be a lot more. And I think that what's going on in Columbia in these Ivy League institutions is an indication of the degree to which this is a major problem for the Democratic Party and for their coalition.
In that sense, Juan, do you sense that the White House, the president, is trying to play both ways here, trying to play the politics of the moment, worried about Arab American pushback from his progressive side? In the statements that he's made, obviously there was a paper statement that came out from the deputy White House press secretary, but in speaking about it, he's only answered a question from a reporter, hasn't really talked directly about it. And the actions of the administration, you know, in the wake of all of this, they announced that they're going sanctions after a IDF brigade, for its activities inside Gaza. It's just an interesting juxtaposition.
Well, because it's politics, and the politics are very tricky here. Tricky in this, to the extent that we're watching just what Chad was telling us about in terms of the passage of money, funding, that not only goes to Ukraine, but will go to Israel. And we've seen in recent weeks the Biden administration send military supplies to Israel, despite all the domestic concerns here in the United States. And it's not to be, you know, we can make fun of some elite college kids protesting, but the reality is that right now, according to the Gallup numbers, 55% of Americans say they oppose what the Israeli Defense Force has done in terms of devastating Gaza. And you think about people, you know, like Jose Andreas, the chef, the head of the World Central Kitchen, who had some of his people killed, who says he thinks that it was done intentionally. So you see these protests really are widespread. And to my mind, when you think of President Biden, you have to understand most of those people who are out in the streets are protesting, are Democrats, and they're protesting against Biden. And the difficulty here is that you have the fringe groups that are threatening, that are bullying, that, you know, thank goodness I don't see too much violence as yet, but they are they are a threat to our civil society, and they have to be spoken to in those terms. But you can't just turn your back on the idea that we are a nation with a First Amendment right to protest, and those young people are raising their voices.
But Juan, let me disagree here for just a moment. There's a difference between saying these children, these college students, have the right to protest, they have the right to say certain things, and then they go in and they say things that, as I'm sure you've seen the same footage that I have, you know, from Colombia, which makes clear that they are threatening the lives and the safety of Jewish students on campus. That is not acceptable. It's not something that they are allowed to do. And it goes well beyond the expression of, you know, the Palestinian state having a right to exist or something like this. And I will say one more thing about my fellow Puerto Rican, Jose Andres. I do not believe for one second that what he said about his people dying in that situation is true. I do not believe that for one second. They were not targeted. They were not people who were being, you know, targeted for where they were. It is a sad fact that they died in the situation that they did, but it is just not true that the Israelis in any way targeted people who are trying to administer food to various refugees and the like. That is just not true.
And I don't know. What I do know is that the Israelis then said that, you know, a mistake was made. They fired some people.
Yes, it was a mistake. Right. It was obviously a mistake.
Right. So that, yeah. I can also say that when I look around, I see Google has fired, I think it's like 28 people because they were protesting nonviolently. I see that at USC, the valedictorian has been told she cannot speak because of past comments that were taken as critical of Israel.
Let me talk about that for just a second. So she, from my perspective, this is a very hard case, because what she actually was saying in terms of previous posts is she said that Israel did not have a right to exist, that it was a nation state that needed to be destroyed. From the perspective of USC, I understand why they might say, we don't want that kind of person to be giving an address. At the same time, I kind of think, if she deserved to give the address, shouldn't she give the address? You know, like, yeah. I mean,
going into these different scenarios, and there are a bunch of them about free speech and about the right to protest, and then feeling threatened on campus and, you know, protesting and supporting a terrorist group, Hamas, talking about how October 7th was great. So we're going to go round and round on that. Chad, I want to go to you in that, you know, we saw some of this confrontation in hearings with Congresswoman Elise Stefanik from New York grilling some of these university presidents. I don't think we're done with this on Capitol Hill. Do you think there's more to do?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Elise Stefanik has kind of made this, her cause here on Capitol Hill. And you started to have members weigh in here. I mean, you have Richie Torres, a Democrat from New York City. He says the cancellation of in-person classes at Columbia University is an admission of failure by the president. If the president of Columbia University cannot lead with moral clarity, then she should step aside. You had Josh Hawley, the Republican senator from Missouri, saying maybe the president should mobilize the National Guard to help quell some of these protests on college campuses. I mean, we've not heard the end of this. And something I've been trying to get answered all day is that the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is in a little bit of a funny spot on this, you know, because obviously, you know, he kind of has to walk this fine line much the same way as President Biden. But this is a major university in his hometown. And I've been trying to figure out or get a sense of what his position is. You know, he's not really said anything on that front. I think that's notable. The other thing, and this plays right into the bill that they're dealing with right now, is that you have a number of liberal Democrats who are voting against the foreign aid package because they object to the money for Israel. You had Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont, indicate that he was very displeased that there wasn't more, you know, money to deal with humanitarian assistance, didn't like funding the Netanyahu government. We talked to Elizabeth Warren, the Democratic senator, former Harvard law professor, by the way, from Massachusetts just a few minutes ago here. And she said, we need a ceasefire. She says, quote, it's wrong to deny help to UNRWA. UNRWA is doing the work on the ground to deliver humanitarian relief, and we need that. So the flashpoints of this at Columbia and other Ivy League universities and universities around the country have descended upon Capitol Hill. And I should note that they changed the security posture here, Brett, at the Capitol, where they closed off the plaza. They've had extra police in the galleries during this Senate debate and the roll call votes, and in some cases, standing outside the hideaway offices of senators, because, as you know, they've had a number of big protests here on Capitol Hill. There was a major one a few months ago in the Cannon Rotunda, where basically the demonstrators took over the Cannon Rotunda, the Cannon House office building here on Capitol Hill. So they are ready for that. This is part and parcel of what's going on at these universities.
Chad, yeah, and Ben, to your point, sorry. Ben, I want to reference that the DNC in Chicago could very well look like 1968 in Chicago.
Yeah,
when the Democrats were there.
And Chad, may I just interject? I have been told that the Speaker of the House is going to head to Columbia. Have you heard this?
I have not heard that, but we will inquire.
I have been told this this afternoon that he intends to go to Columbia tomorrow. And to me, no, I think that the Republican Party is going to lean into this in a very significant way. And I don't know that it's going to be necessarily something that benefits them, but it seriously seems to me like they believe this is a vulnerability on the Democratic side that they would like to exploit.
All right, we're going to take a quick pause here. We'll be back after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Well, noticeably absent also of making any comment is arguably Columbia's most famous alum, President Barack Obama. He has not said one word about any of the protests at his alma mater. You know, leaning in, Juan, President Biden is doing abortion, talking about abortion in Florida, saying today that he thinks Florida can be in the national election picture and is not a dead letter for Democrats on specifically the issue of abortion. Meanwhile, all of this other stuff, as we talked about, Republicans leaning in on these protests and the reaction to it.
Well, that's right. I mean, clearly, again, we talk about what happened in Florida and the state legislature approving now a new limit on abortion. And if you think about what's happened there, you think, and then flip over to Arizona. And again, the Democrats think they can do even better in Arizona, given the Arizona Supreme Court ruling there, based on some 1800s rule about making abortion illegal. That this is an issue that drives voters. And, you know, how many times have we talked about the importance of women voters, but particularly white women, suburban voters, is critical in a very close presidential election. And that looks like what we've got coming up. And the Democrats see this as not only moving people, but driving them to the polls on election day. And so far, the Republicans have not come up with a solution for this. Former President Trump has said, you know, we can talk about it. He's, you know, put forward some 16-week propositions. The Democrats have fired back. He's a guy that would sign bans, even as he talked about a, you know, allowing states to determine the rules on abortion. But he's also a guy, you know, said, well, I don't know, I'm opposed to abortion. Well, that's just all the Democrats needed. And they are going to push this big in the election. And so far, it doesn't look like there's been an effective response from the right.
Yeah. Ben, thoughts on that and how powerful it is?
Yeah, I think that I agree with Juan that, you know, frankly, Republicans have not figured out their messaging on this topic, except I would just point out that when it comes to this abortion issue and the way that it plays out across the country, it's very uneven in terms of the way that it plays out. You know, we've seen, you know, some of the most popular governors in the United States, including Greg Abbott, including Brian Kemp, including Mike DeWine in Ohio, you know, all these people sign abortion bills that, you know, frankly, seem very out of step with the way that people think about this nationally. And the way that they've done that and been able to defend that, they've done so very successfully. So when it comes to, you know, something like this Florida vote, in fact, you know, a number of Florida Democrats have said, let's not tie our agenda to this Florida vote because we actually need to get 60% in order to, you know, take things back or to turn things around in terms of the policy. You know, a different state, though, is a state like Arizona, as Juan referenced. And I think that their Republicans, their inability to figure it out and navigate this subject could ultimately prove to be very devastating for them. And that's something that I think is going to be a problem for them consistently. And this is the thing that I think is really true that Republicans have not reckoned with yet. This issue is not going away. It is a permanent issue on the state level that you are going to have to navigate every single time on every single ballot issue, legislative issue, et cetera. And so until you figure it out on that level, it's going to be a problem for you.
Chad, last word. I mean, what's the level of worry among Republicans up for re-election in the House? They are poised well in the economy and immigration, but on abortion, not so much.
Yeah, that's something that really divides them and worries them, frankly. You know, I mean, you talk to them privately and they'll tell you that is their Achilles heel, frankly. It's that. One also might wonder if failing to get something done on the border or something that might echo in some of these districts. It is such a narrowly divided House and Senate. But that said, in terms of the Senate flipping, the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who won't be the minority or the majority leader in the next Congress because he announced over the winter that he would not stand for one of those positions. He said, you know, look, he was asked about the quality of candidates on the Senate side today. And he said on the Republican side, he was rather pleased. I think he seems more pleased than he was in the last round where there were people like Herschel Walker in Georgia, some people in winnable seats that they just didn't have the right candidate in place there. He pointed out, he said, you know, we get to 50 because we're probably going to win West Virginia right there. And then you look to Wisconsin, you look to Ohio, you look to Montana. Can Democrats flip something in there? It's really hard because the map just simply is not in their favor. But Mitch McConnell's probably right about the quality of those candidates and also West Virginia. So that works to their favor, even if the issues aren't working out in the GOP's favor.
Yeah, and the House looks like it's going to be nip and tuck. All right, panel, thanks so much. Now for a bit of history. On April 21st, 1836, Texas soldiers defeated Mexican forces in the Battle of San Jacinto. As tensions were reaching a fever pitch during the Texas Revolution, the Texas militia, led by General Sam Houston, launched a surprise attack against Mexican forces. Though the Texas troops were outnumbered, the element of surprise worked in their favor, shouting, "Remember the Alamo," as they fought for independence. Texas forces won the battle in less than 20 minutes. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Ben, Chad, and Juan, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.